Thank you again, choir. During this Advent season, we will be going through a few different passages in Scripture. We're taking a break from the Gospel of John. This Sunday, we're going to read a passage from 2 Peter, which is towards the end of the Bible, starting on page 12,006. Now, as we go through the lectionary, I want to just again introduce what the lectionary is. It is a collection of passages from Scripture to guide you through the church year. So during Lent, there are passages that have to do with preparing yourself during Lent. For Easter, there are passages about Easter. During this Advent season, there's passages about Advent. And Christmas season, there's passages about Christmas. Lectionaries have been around for centuries and centuries. Here is a portrait painted by Rembrandt of a woman reading through a lectionary. So she flips to the day and she's reading it. We use lectionaries all the time. Our daily bread is a lectionary. Some Bibles, read the Bible in a year, that is a lectionary. And then there is a very popular lectionary called the Revised Common Lectionary. And churches around the world use it. And we will be using it during this Advent season. So we are going to read from 2 Peter, starting in chapter 3, verse 8. Here, Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to brothers and sisters and encouraging them about this future day of the Lord, which will come. Starting at verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. The word of God for the people of God. So last week we talked about how a faithful waiting and watching for the day of the Lord is not predicting that day, right? Even Jesus says that not even the angels in heaven or the Son of Man know that day. Christians have been falling into the same mistake for years and years, even in the very beginning. If we had time to read the whole of 2 Peter, we would see that even those Christians in the very beginning were trying to predict the day. And because of that, there were scoffers, as Peter described, making fun and ridiculing these Christians. The Lord must have forgotten or the Lord doesn't care. And so Peter has to say, no, the Lord is patient. He has forbearance. And he also reminds them that you can't use the mathematics of what we have at hand to try to predict the coming of the Lord. He says, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day for the Lord. But even Christians want to transform that into a mathematical equation. Oh, 1,000 years must equal a day, or a day must equal 1,000 years. But Peter says, no, it's like that. It's a long time can be a little bit of time, or a little bit of time can be a long time. But that's not as poetic as saying a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 in Scripture is often used, a number to mean a long, long time, or a lot of things or time. So we can't fall into the same mistake that Peter is even talking about. Don't try to predict the time, the day. It's going to come. Faithful waiting and watching is not about predicting that day. Well, this is also a message of God's patience. God can wait a long, long time. 1,000 years is like a day to him. He has what the scripture calls forbearance, patience, long suffering. God is so patient with us. And just hearing the testimonies of fellow brothers and sisters, you can see how God is patient. God has so much more patience than I do, than others do. He can wait for a long time for our repentance. And God is willing to do that. We see throughout Scripture God's patience. Even in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, we see that God is so patient with these Hebrew people. Even after they rebel against him over and over, after he has rescued them from Egypt and fed them in the wilderness, they continue to rebel and complain, and they want to put Moses to death, and over, but God is patient. He continues to be patient. He leads them, he leads the people through ways that God knows they will be able to travel. And we see it elsewhere in the book of Jonah. God is patient not only with the Ninevites, but with Jonah himself, this prophet God has called. Patient with Jonah. Willing to have Jonah go the opposite direction on a ship. And so then God has Jonah swallowed by a big fish and spit out on land. And patient with Jonah, even when Jonah goes to the Ninevites and he doesn't want to preach this repentance because he knows the Ninevites are going to repent. And then after they repent, he complains and complains. And God, even to the very last verse in the book of Jonah, is patient. It is pretty amazing how patient God is. Well, God is being patient now in this world, not wanting anyone to perish, waiting and waiting for people to repent before the end comes. And what will this end look like, too? We read in this passage a couple times, Peter is talking about how the elements will burn, the elements will melt with fire. There will be a conflagration, a fire in this end time. A fire not unlike what happened in Genesis with the flood, where God used water instead of fire. He called Noah and his family, and he said, a day will come. You don't know the day, but a day will come. And Noah spent decades building this boat, and they went in, and the day still didn't come. But one day it did, and the water came in and swept away all who had rebelled. And in the end, all that was left were the righteous. The same will happen. One day, the fire will sweep in and sweep away all who rebel, and who will be left but the righteous? The elements will melt. Now, I'm a science geek. I've been a science geek ever since I remember, and this is what I studied in undergrad, science. So this is a really exciting time for me. Any of y'all science geeks? Y'all know what I'm talking about? We got a couple new elements. People have created a few elements, and we're going to put them on the periodic table. So those periodic tables that you hang in your living room, you're going to have to replace them, because there's going to be a whole new periodic table with two new elements. They released the names. I'm going to try to pronounce this one. It's going to be harder than the Russian word I told you last week. Fluorovium, something like that, and Livermorium. So these are two elements that we were able to make in the laboratory. They have about a life of a hundredth of a second, so a very quick life. So that's why it was so hard to discover them and find them. Well, growing up in the Cold War era, and many of you remember this, there was this fear, always fear, or maybe an expectation, that this great world power on one side of the world would begin a fight with the other great world power on the other side of the world, and it would end in a thermonuclear war around the world, and everyone would be affected. And I remember preachers during that time read this passage, and again, predicting the time when Christ would come, they would say, when Peter talks about the elements melting, he must have been talking about a nuclear bomb, because that's what happens. A nuclear reaction is when an element essentially melts. It splits apart, and all this energy comes out. Well, as I grew older, I realized, wait a minute, Peter didn't know anything about what we would call elements. He was talking about some other sort of elements. He wasn't talking about hydrogen and helium and Livermorium and Fluorovium. No, he was talking about other elements, the elements of creation. As we read in Genesis 1, the elements that God used and molded the waters, where he split down below and up above, and the land that he moved aside to create land and seas. These are the elements that Peter is talking about. And also, perhaps the elements of the sun and the moon, these things that back then they thought were indivisible. What we call elements now, or atoms, they looked at sun and moon and stars as these indivisible elements. In Isaiah 34, we read the same thing about the day of the Lord. Come, people of all nations, gather around and listen. Let the whole earth and everyone living in it come here and listen. The Lord is angry with all the nations. Not some of them, all of them. He's angry with all the nations and all their armies. He has condemned them to destruction. Their corpses will not be buried, but will lie there rotting and stinking, and the mountains will be red with blood. The sun, moon, and stars will crumble to dust. The sky will disappear like a scroll being rolled up, and the stars will fall like leaves dropping from a vine or a fig tree. So these things, these elements, these things that seemed indestructible would be destroyed in the very end. But something else interesting happens, and I'm going to read this verse again in verse 10 of 2 Peter. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Everything in it will be laid bare. Now, don't misunderstand that with barren, that everything will be barren, though that may very well be the case. But Peter is talking about something else. He's saying everything will be laid bare. And it might be helpful to read another translation. This is from The Message, and it might reveal a little bit more of what Peter is trying to say here when things are laid bare. But when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be unannounced, like a thief. The sky will collapse with thunderous bang, everything disintegrating in a huge conflagration. Earth and all its works exposed to the scrutiny of judgment. Earth and all its works exposed to the scrutiny of judgment. This understanding of all that will be laid bare is everything will be revealed. The word apocalypse, it means a revealing. Everything will be revealed and laid bare for all to see. And not just the creation that we see, the matter that we see, but even our works. All of our works will be laid bare for all to see. The fruit of our works. It is as if everything that people do, both the good and the bad, will be revealed for God to judge, to make a judgment on. There's this phrase that we often use to throw something away, right? We're going to throw it away. We're done with it. We're going to throw it away. And we have this idea that there is some place that we call away, right? Though eventually all this stuff that goes away goes somewhere, right? On this earth. It goes to a garbage dump, right? But we don't ever see the garbage dump. We don't see everything we throw away. But it will be as if we're taken to the garbage dump and we're shown everything throughout all the years we've lived, everything that we've thrown away actually is there and will be revealed. And it's not just the evil that we've done, but it's also the good that we've done. All the things that we've done in private, in secret, things that have been forgotten, will all be brought up again through this fire and laid bare, revealed. Well, soon we will be celebrating the birth of the Son of God, one born to a young teenage girl who was most definitely scared, and to a young man who is often called a carpenter, right? And he most likely passed on his trade to Jesus as Jesus grew up. But carpentry then, some would argue, is not what we would call carpentry now. It was more of what we might call construction or building. Joseph was essentially a construction worker. He didn't just build shelves or tables, but he built homes. He built edifices. So the next time you drive by a construction site, you can imagine this was a kind of person who became the father of Jesus here on earth, one of those men. Well, the great thing is that we as Christians, we're all construction workers. Did you know that? You know we're all construction workers? In the end time, when everything is destroyed, all that will be left is our works. And through these works, in some mysterious way, God is going to build a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness, as Peter describes it, a home made of our righteous acts, a home made for our righteous acts, a home of righteousness. Elsewhere, Paul talks about our works. In 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he or she builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his or her works will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he or her has built survives, it will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he or she will suffer loss, for they will be saved by fire, or they will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. All of our works will be tested one day to see if they endure through this fire. Will they be works like gold, silver, precious stones, or will they be works like wood, hay, or straw? The day of the Lord is not just about a cataclysmic destruction and judgment, but about a groundbreaking reconstruction. God is making all things new. What you do here on earth will directly affect our future home in the new heaven and new earth. Your actions will be the construction materials of this place, your good works, the building blocks of eternity. That is why Peter peppers this passage about the end times with exhortations to live holy lives. Holy lives participate in the forming of a new heaven and a new earth. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. An apocalypse is coming, and what should we care about? Our good works. As we wait and watch for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we busy ourselves with love and good deeds. As we celebrate this Advent season, there's no better way to celebrate it than with love and good deeds. And so the next time someone asks you why you're giving your time to help a stranger, or giving your money to help a missionary, or spending an evening in prayer, you can simply say, I'm doing some construction. Well, for those who have yet to discover the great occupation as Christians to be construction workers, and our great Savior Jesus Christ, the Master Builder, I encourage you to make a decision today to follow Christ as your Savior. For those who want to participate in this great building construction together in a community we call Mount Hermon Baptist Church, I encourage you as well to come forward this morning and join as a member. If there is anything else that you would like to share with your family, I also encourage you to come forward. Please join me as we pray. O Lord, in your psalm this morning, we heard that love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. O Lord, we want to be a righteous people, holy and blameless, so that when the day of the Lord comes, our righteousness is revealed and becomes building blocks for this new heaven and new earth. O Lord, by your Spirit, may we be those people, and may we call others to join in the construction of this new heaven and new earth in the future. We pray these things in the name of the one who is the Master Builder, Jesus Christ. Amen.